from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. And we begin with President Donald Trump. Not about his reported sharing of classified information with Russian officials or firing the FBI director, but rather real policy changes his administration is prompting here in California. Basically, California officials are trying to end-run Trump's policies before they even get on the field, as KQED's California Politics and Government Desk reporter Guy Marzorati tells us.
The governor's revised budget delivered a pair of messages on how the state will interact with the Trump administration. The first message, we can't budget based off of things that haven't happened. That explains why Brown predicts the state would lose billions under the new Republican health care bill in Congress, but offers no plan on what to do if the bill actually becomes law.
And if you say, now what are you going to do? You're not going to get an answer, because what we have to do is ugly.
The other message, California actually is budgeting for future fights with the Trump administration. Take the 31 new legal positions Brown is proposing for Attorney General Javier Becerra's office.
My comment is hallelujah.
That's Becerra reacting on Monday to news of his increased staffing. He said his staff has already spent 11,000 hours of legal resources in response to actions by the Trump administration.
I had my civil rights enforcement section doing immigration law. That meant that they had to put aside many of the important things they were doing.
The governor's budget is also beefing up legal resources at the community level, adding $15 million to help immigrants in California fight deportation. For the California Report, I'm Guy Marzorati in Sacramento.
We're going to continue our education series now, Trump Ed. And for this story, I want you to begin by imagining a parent getting a check in the mail. And this check will allow them to send their child to any school they want. Well, some states already do this through tax credit scholarships. And President Trump and Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos want to make those checks available to families across the country, including here in California. So far, our state doesn't offer that. So our education reporter, Anna Tentakulis, wanted to see how it was working out for our neighbors in Nevada.
I meet the Emery family at their home in Carson City, east of Lake Tahoe.
Oh my gosh, he's alive!
Okay, I'm Melanie Emery.
I'm Nick Emery.
They have three kids. 8-year-old Nevaeh plays the piano.
And I really like listening to the high notes.
She's in third grade. Grace, she's six.
And I am in first grade.
And 3-year-old Josiah loves superheroes.
Maybe the Incredible Hulk.
All three children were adopted. And Melanie says the staff at the private Christian school Nevaeh and Grace now attend has helped the girls overcome social and emotional problems. We're not using the school's name or visiting it out of privacy concerns. It's a school day for the girls, so they jump into the car with Dad.
And buckle up.
Go check the door.
Buckle up, please.
Tuition for both daughters is roughly $10,000 a year. There's no way Nick and Melanie could afford that on their own. So they turn to what's called a tax credit scholarship, a school choice option Trump is touting as part of his education agenda. Nevada public schools are among the lowest performing in the nation. The state adopted the tax credit scholarship option 2 years ago, following demands for more alternatives.
I never, ever thought that my child was going to go to a private school. We just always thought that they would go to the local public school.
But after enrolling their oldest daughter in that school a couple years ago, Melanie says it just didn't feel right. There were 40 kids in each class, and she says teachers weren't properly trained, and she didn't feel a sense of school community.
Moms know, and I just knew in my heart that this was not a fit for our daughter.
The family's request to switch schools was denied. Nick says they felt
trapped, you know. That can't be our reality. That can't be their reality.
So they received a tax credit scholarship, which is made up of private donations. Individuals and businesses who donate get sizable tax breaks. To be clear, we're not talking school vouchers. Those often get mired in legal challenges because they're funded through taxpayer money. But these tax credit scholarships are controversial. California is one of 37 states that don't allow them because of statutes that prevent public dollars from going to religious schools. Critics also say these scholarships take students and money away from local public schools, and that they don't always get to the kids who need them the most. Nevaeh, the Emery's oldest daughter, plays the piano in the family room after school as mom and dad listen on the couch. They say her new private Christian school feels like family.
And it definitely, as far as testing goes, it tests, I mean, head and shoulders above the other schools in our community.
And it is still teaching to the same standards that are required of the public schools, but they've been able to find a way to make it work.
At this point, it's unclear how the Trump administration could force a tax credit system on every state. If that happens, most educators in California say they'll fight back. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis in Carson City, Nevada.
Federal lawyers were back in court on Monday defending President Donald Trump's ban on travel from six majority Muslim countries. And just like before, Trump's own words seemed to undermine their case. From KQED's California Politics and Government Desk, here's Marisa Lagos.
Once again, a hearing on the travel ban focused largely on what's been said outside the courtroom. This time, it was a three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals questioning lawyers for the federal government and the state of Hawaii, which sued over the ban. Here's Senior Circuit Judge Michael Daly Hawkins.
Has the president ever disavowed his campaign statements? Has he ever stood up and said, I said before I wanted to ban all members of the Islamic faith from entering the United States of America? I was wrong.
Acting Solicitor General Jeff Walz responded that Trump has made clear since taking office that the targets of his ban are Muslim terrorist groups. But Neil Katyal, representing Hawaii, says by targeting such a broad range of people, the president is clearly overstepping his authority.
If you rule for him, you defer to the president in a way that history teaches us is very dangerous. You open the door to so much.
The panel will now decide if a lower court's ruling preventing the ban from taking effect should stand. Another appeals court is also weighing a similar case brought by the state of Maryland. The U.S. Supreme Court could eventually weigh in. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
The number of prisoners in California with severe mental illness is growing. That's according to a new study from Stanford released on Monday. It shows 30% of California prisoners currently receive treatment for a serious mental disorder. Michael Romano with Stanford's Justice Advocacy Project says people with mental illness receive longer sentences and once inside prison get punished for acts that stem directly from their illness.
You can receive a prison violation for slitting your wrists. And then once you get a prison violation for slitting your wrists, you are put into solitary confinement.
Romano says prisoners with mental illness can seldom attend educational or vocational programs, which means they cannot benefit from recent reforms that allow inmates to try to better themselves and get out of prison earlier. Let's stay with criminal justice, but look towards how it intersects with technology. Today, it's hard to tell where modern policing ends and science fiction begins. Take the scene from the most recent RoboCop movie, where our protagonist uses facial recognition to catch a criminal in a crowd.
What's he doing?
He looks like a zombie.
I think he's accessing criminal data.
Oh, you know he's accessing criminal data. Sorry, I'm a sci-fi geek. Anyways, like I was saying, police, just like RoboCop, can use facial recognition readers, social media scrubbers, biometric scanners, and on and on. Well, Bay Area State Senator Jerry Hill is trying to pass laws that would extend current privacy rules to all new technologies. He joins us now from Sacramento. Good morning, Senator.
Oh, thank you very much, John. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Tell us a bit about what this proposed legislation would do and why you came to believe it was needed.
Well, this legislation really expands on the existing privacy standards for automatic license plate readers and cellular intercept devices. It expands it to all surveillance technologies that are used by law enforcement with the goal of really safeguarding the rights of privacy and other civil liberties as we really strive for a safer environment.
Now, let's take the automatic plate readers, for example. So basically, the way these work are there are some type of scanner or observant device on a police vehicle or other police property, and they're essentially able to read the license plates, run the license plates, and return a person might be wanted for whatever type of disposition. Right now, police officers can do that on their own. What's the difference between having a machine do it and having a human do it?
you could find and start tracking people's whereabouts, where they go, what are their habits, to either locate them or to for other things, because a lot of this data is not just collected by law enforcement, it's collected by private companies, and in some cases, law enforcement has access to that information.
I remember similar arguments when I was growing up in Southern California, when San Diego, the city of San Diego, was considering installing red light cameras. And we saw a lot of the same debate about this, but ultimately, red light cameras have been installed. They've been tremendous revenue generators, and advocates would say they've helped keep intersections safe.
Well, and the difference with that is that the data is used for a traffic violation, and that's different than, and the accumulation and the storage of that data is not kept other than for the violation that it's meant for.
We are in an age in that there is an understanding that if you are going to be part of modern society, your information, your face, your name, the city you live in, the things you ate for breakfast are going to be transparent and naked for the world to see. What's your response to this idea that Californians just do not value privacy the way that they did even a generation ago?
Well, I think it's absolutely true. And the sad part of that is what we've lost today in privacy, and I believe in our civil liberties, is just a snapshot and a small price that we're paying. If we see, and if this the tragedy and the I even hate to say it, the possibility of another 9/11 type of disaster that this country could face. And if we have another one of those, we will lose even more of these, and people will not care.
Senator Jerry Hill joining us from Sacramento. Senator, thank you so much.
John, my pleasure.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Barracuda Networks, security, data protection, and application delivery solutions for physical networks and public cloud services. Learn more at barracuda.com/products. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
A criminal group is stealing California beehives, some 200,000 since January. Almond farmers often rent out hives to help pollinate their fields. California authorities suspect the group of criminals behind these bee thefts are, wait for it, Russian. At some point, I mean, you can't make this stuff up, but you can read it on my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. That's the California Report for Tuesday, May 16th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day.